Mass. The introit, which is taken from the Psalms, reminds the neophytes of the passage through the Red Sea, and how its waters were gifted with the power of delivering the Israelites. The Church continually alludes to this great event during the whole Paschal octave. Introit. The Lord hath brought them forth in hope, Alleluia, and the sea hath covered their enemies, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Attend, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Pasch is the reconciliation of man with God. For the Father can refuse nothing to such a conqueror as our risen Jesus, his Son. In her collect, the Church prays that we may ever show ourselves worthy of such a covenant, by faithfully living up to the mystery of the Paschal regeneration. Collect. O Almighty and Eternal God, who hast instituted this Paschal mystery in the covenant of the reconciliation of mankind, assist us with thy holy grace, that what we profess in this solemnity we may practice in our lives. To this is added one of the collects given in Wednesday's Mass. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Peter the Apostle, 1, Chapter 3. Dearly beloved, Christ died once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might offer us to God, being put to death indeed in the flesh, but enlivened in the Spirit, in which also coming, he preached to those spirits that were in prison, which had been some time incredulous, when they waited for the patience of God in the days of Noah, when the ark was a building, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water, whereunto baptism, being of the like form, now saveth you also, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the examination of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is on the right hand of God. Again, it is the Apostle St. Peter who speaks to us, and his instructions are of peculiar interest to our neophytes. He begins by telling them how the soul of our Redeemer descended into limbo, and how, among the prisoners detained there, were some of those who had perished in the deluge, yet had found salvation in its waters. They were at first incredulous, and despised the threats made known to them by Noah. But when the flood came and swept them away, they repented of their sin, and asked and obtained pardon. The Apostle then goes on to speak of the favored inhabitants of the ark. They are a type of our neophytes, whom we have seen pass through the waters of the font, and thereby become, as did the sons of Noah, fathers of a new generation of children of God. Baptism, says the Apostle, is not like other washings of the body. It is the cleansing of the soul, provided she be sincere in the solemn promise she vows at the font, to be faithful to the Christ who saves her, and to renounce Satan and all that is his. The Apostle concludes by telling us that the mystery of our Savior's resurrection is the source of the grace of baptism. Hence the Church has chosen the Feast of Easter for the solemn administration of this sacrament. Gradual. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he hath shone upon us. Alleluia, alleluia. Say ye among the Gentiles that the Lord hath reigned from the wood. Sequence. Let Christians offer to the Paschal victim the sacrifice of praise. The Lamb hath redeemed the sheep. The innocent Jesus hath reconciled sinners to his Father. Death and life fought against each other, and wondrous was the duel. The King of Life was put to death, yet now he lives and reigns. Tell us, O Mary, what sawest thou on the way? I saw the sepulchre of the living Christ. I saw the glory of him that had risen. I saw the angels that were the witnesses. I saw the winding sheet and the cloth. Christ, my hope, hath risen. He shall go before you into Galilee. We know that Christ hath truly risen from the dead. Do thou, O conqueror and king, have mercy upon us. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And seeing him, they adored, but some doubted. And Jesus coming spoke to them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world. St. Matthew's description of the resurrection is shorter than those given by the other evangelists. His few brief words on Jesus appearing to the apostles in Galilee are the subject of today's gospel. It was in Galilee that our Lord vouchsafed to show himself, not only to the apostles, but moreover, to several other persons. The evangelist tells us how some of those that were thus favored readily believed, and how others doubted before yielding the assent of their faith. He then relates the words wherewith Jesus gave his apostles the mission to preach the gospel to all nations. And since he is to die no more, he promises to be with them forever, even to the end of the world. But the apostles are not to live to the end of the world. How then will he fulfill his promise? The apostles, as we said before, are perpetuated by the church. The two testimonies of the apostles and of the church are inseparably linked together, and our Lord Jesus Christ preserves this united testimony from error or interruption. The liturgy of today brings before us a proof of its irresistible power. Peter, Paul, and John preached Jesus' resurrection and established the Christian faith in Rome. 5 centuries after, the church, which continued their work, received from an emperor the gift of the temple, which had once been consecrated to all the false gods, but which St. Peter's successor dedicated to Mary, the Mother of God, and to that legion of witnesses of the resurrection, whom we call martyrs. At the site of this magnificent edifice, which for 300 years had been deserted by the pagans, but now is reconciled by the church and holds within its walls the Christian people, our neophytes could not refrain from exclaiming, O truly is Christ risen, who after being put to death on the cross, thus triumphs over the Caesars and over the gods of Olympus. The offertory is composed of those words of Exodus, wherein God commands his people to celebrate each year the anniversary of the Passover. If this were so for an event which was but figurative, and whose effects did not extend beyond this life, how fervently and joyously ought Christians to keep the anniversary of that other Passover, whose results are to be eternal, and whose divine reality has put an end to all the ancient figures. Offertory. And this day shall be for a memorial to you, Alleluia, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord in your generations, with an everlasting observance, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. In the secret, the Church beseeches God to accept this present sacrifice for the forgiveness of the sins of her neophytes. But how is this? Their sins have been already effaced. It is true. Their sins have been washed away in the waters of baptism. But God's foreknowledge of the sacrifice that would now be offered to him led him to grant his pardon even before the petition for mercy had really been made. Secret. Mercifully accept this sacrifice, we beseech thee, O Lord, which we offer for the remission of their sins who have been regenerated, and to obtain speedily the help of thy grace. To this is added one of the secrets given in Wednesday's Mass. The communion anthem joyously proclaims the command, given by our Savior to his apostles and his church, to teach all nations, and to baptize all people. This order is the warrant of their mission. The use made of it by the apostles and continued by the Church during these 1900 years plainly proves that he who spoke these words is still living and will forever live. Communion. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Alleluia. Go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia. After nourishing her children with the bread of eternal life, the Church, in the post-communion, again prays that they may receive forgiveness of the sins which they commit in this present life, and which would be to their everlasting perdition, were not the merits of our Savior's death and resurrection ever present before the justice of God. Post-communion. Look down, we beseech thee, O Lord, upon thy people, and since thou hast vouchsafed to give them a new life by these eternal mysteries, grant them also pardon of their temporal offenses. To this is added one of the post-communions given in Wednesday's Mass.